EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind of it?
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
County dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are joining us from tonight. I've got an interesting show lined up tonight. Coming up is Vince from Ohio, and he had 2 great sightings that was both shared experiences with himself and his family. 2 very strange encounters. And if you've had an encounter and would like to share it with our wonderful listeners, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. You can also send your voice recorded submissions as well, and any fan mail if you'd like to. And also, please review the show, as it only takes a minute and it helps to make it easier for people to find the show. More listeners means more guests and more episodes.
If you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. I'd like to welcome Vince to the show. Welcome to the show, Vince.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. Great to have you on. Really appreciate you coming on. And you're all the way from Ohio.
Yep, Brunswick, Ohio.
Excellent. Now, you've had 2 sightings, one in 93.
Yep.
And then we've got one in 2013.
That's correct.
Would you like to start with the first one for us, please, Vince?
Yes. If my wife and I, we were on our way from Ohio to South Carolina. We were actually going to Myrtle Beach, and we wanted to drive directly all the way there. And by the time we made it so close, but we got to about North Myrtle Beach, and we got to the point where we felt it was unsafe to drive any longer because we were both tired. So it was actually a very early spring. It was almost practically the end of winter. So there was not a whole lot of places open. And this was late, I would say about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. And we did find we found a beachside resort. We were actually on the other side of the street. So we were just across the street from the beach. And once we got settled in, I smoked back in those days. And my wife didn't like me smoking. So did her a favor. And I walked across the street onto the pier, and I had a smoke, probably another one. And I'm not lying. I said to myself, and I think I actually said it out loud, if I'm ever going to see a UFO, I would see it now, because I had brightest, darkest sky you could imagine right over the ocean. The lights were low because we were in North Myrtle Beach at the time, was not that populated. because it was off tourist season, a lot of the lights were off. So I had a beautiful sky. And I probably was there for about another 15 minutes. I started seeing, I didn't see a shape. What I saw was stars disappearing. And it wasn't like you could tell that it wasn't like a hollow craft. What I'm trying to say is it took up a lot of stars at one time. So it wasn't like a flock of birds, because you'd be able to see the stars immediately after the birds passed them. So I was watching this and it was moving very slow. And I was able at this point to see the shape of it. And it was triangular. This was way before I knew anything about triangular UFOs. So as I was watching it, my wife had come up behind me, scared me to death. And I looked up and I lost sight of it. And I was so, so upset. And I looked and I looked. And then finally, she found it, which was awesome because, number one, it gave me a witness. Number two, I was able to find it again with her. And what it was doing, I wouldn't say it was doing like any kind of particular pattern, but it did move across the sky. And then when it would go up higher, it did it in sections. It did it in jolts. And you could see the stars disappear. And then for a long time, it sat and it started to get smaller. And I had lost sight of it, but my wife was able to watch it for at least another 5 minutes. And this was a long sighting. I'm telling you, this probably lasted, a good 15 minutes total. And she wasn't a disbeliever. She was pretty agnostic to the whole UFO thing. And at that point, she became a believer. So when we got back to our hotel room, we were both spooked. And that's another thing I forgot. In the hotel or at the sighting, there was definitely a feeling of, I wouldn't say fear, but that's the only way I can imagine it right now. It was a feeling of fear, like we saw something we shouldn't have seen. And I'm going to say that again in another story, but it just felt like a very uneasy feeling. So when we got back to the hotel room, I had no idea what to do, but I knew I had to do something. So I called down to the front desk and I asked them if there was an Air Force base or a small airport around. And she said there was actually a Air Force base, and the name of that Air Force base is, I'm not sure what it is now. This was a long time ago, but I called, and from what I was told, they turned their radar off at night. So they couldn't tell me anything about it. And there was no airport close enough there that would have been, that would have had any radar track or anything like that. So, but that was my very first sighting that I've ever had. And I've wanted to see a UFO my entire life. And that was spectacular. I don't know what else to say. I wish it was brighter. I wish there was more to see. But at the same time, that's what made it mysterious, is because this thing was huge. And when I say huge, I'm talking about putting my hand out in front of my face, and it was larger than my hand. And I know I can't estimate how big that is, but it was silent. It was very smooth, and it definitely, it was made out of matter. I mean, I don't know what else to say. It was there. How something that big could stay afloat and not make any noise is beyond me. So that's my first story. This is the second sighting I had, and I don't know if I said it before, but my name is Vince. I'm 51 years old. I live in Brunswick, Ohio. What I'm going to tell you is a sighting that I had in 2013. So what was going on in my life at that point was we had just moved into a house, a different house, but within the same city. Our other house was still for sale. So I had the advantage, or the luxury, to go over to that house in the evenings and work on it to get it ready for sale. But what I would do is I'd come home and I'd have dinner and I would spend time with the kids, help them with their homework. And then when that was done, I would go over to the house that we were selling and I would work on it. And usually about midnight, I would work on the house, sometimes about 1 o'clock. So this night was no different than any other. I was coming home, and when I did enter our development something caught my eye. And when I'm going west, there is a large line of trees, very tall trees. And I noticed what, at a glance, I thought was the moon. I'm a pretty avid sky watcher, but, you know, I wasn't paying attention to the position or the phase at the moon at the time, but I just felt something wasn't right with it. I stopped my car before I got to my street and I was heading west. And I looked at this and it just didn't look normal. It was round, but it was oval, I would say. It looked like the moon, and that's the best way I could describe it. This object didn't give off light, but it was illuminated, sort of like what you would see with the Chinese lanterns. And believe me, you'll find out later, this was no Chinese lantern. So I got back into my car, and I drove the half a mile back home. And once I hit my driveway, I got out, and I looked again. And sure enough, it was there. And thank God it was there. I wanted this to last forever. So I was looking at it and I could see that it was definitely a structure. It wasn't just a light. And I watched it for a while and I was comparing it as I stood still. I was comparing it to both the roof of my neighbor's house and I was comparing it to trees. And I'm seeing this thing's just not moving. I probably stood and watched for, and I'm lucky because this was another long sighting. I stood and watched for about another 5 minutes. I thought to myself, you know what? No one's going to believe this. Nobody's going to believe me. And even though it was about 1:30 in the morning on a school night, I ran in the house and I woke my kids up. And I probably should have woke my wife up too, but I didn't. I went inside, I woke my kids up. My daughter was 16 at the time, and my son was 13 at the time. And I just pulled him out of bed. I didn't give him a reason. I just pulled him out of bed and I pulled him outside and it was cold. It was in the fall. I said, what do you guys see? I didn't want to put any words in their mouths. I just wanted to see what they saw. And my son is beyond an agnostic. I just don't think he believes. If he did, he didn't want to make it known. And my daughter was just about as wide-eyed and open-mouthed as I was. And she said, what is that, Dad? And I said, I don't know. And I, you know, her having better eyesight than me, I said, do you see anything on it? And she saw the same thing I saw, like ridges on it. You could see ridges on it. So my son was more irritated than anything else. And he just wanted to go in. But, you know, after a short time, I thought to myself, and I now know, I didn't ask him and he wouldn't admit it, but he went in from fear. I know he did because this was so eerie and it was so abrupt that you could see something there. And he ended up going in and my daughter and I were not, there's no way we were going to walk out, you know, walk in without watching this. So we watched it for, oh, I'd say about another, let's say 3 minutes. And then it dawned on me, you know what? I'm going to get our binoculars. I did all the packing for our house and I knew exactly where those binoculars were. So I ran in the house and I got the binoculars. And of course I took the first look and that's when things got strange. Okay. So this was it looked like I said, it was oval, roundish oval, and it was split in the middle. And if you could imagine the lower half of this thing, I know this is going to sound crazy, but the bottom half of this craft, and that's what I call it because that's what it looked like, it looked like old time metal, like you would see on the bottom of a submarine or of an old ship. Like you would see the hammered marks in it. You would see the rivets in it, the seams. That's what this object looked like. Now on the top of it, it looked like it was new. What I explain to sometimes what I say is that it looked like if you were looking from the bottom up under a bridge, you would see the structures, you'd see the straight lines, the trusses. That's what it looked like on the top portion of this. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, those look like lures, like you'd see on the old time Camaros, you'd see them on the back windows, the lures. So I was dumbfounded. I gave the binoculars to my daughter, and the same thing. I didn't want to put any words in her mouth. I just wanted to see what she saw. Pretty much the same thing. She was scared, and I was scared too. And she didn't want to run away from it by any means, but she had a hard time articulating what she was seeing due to fear. But she finally said, she said, the bottom of it looks smooth, or smoother than the top. And the top of it, Dad, looks like, I don't know. I think she said like fence posts, but she was talking about the straight lines that I saw. We stood there and watched it. And, you know, that's all we could do. Same thing. We both were checking to see if this thing was moving, and it just was not moving. It was not moving compared to anything else in the sky. That was the other thing. The sky was clear. There was no stars. I mean, there was all stars in the sky. There was no clouds. It was not the moon. I'll tell you that now. So as we stood there and watched it a little bit longer, I looked through the binoculars again, and I'm telling this story right now. I get the same goosebumps as I had then. Something changed, and I was floored. I didn't know what I was looking at. And it looked like now that this object was on like a, this is going to sound crazy, I know, but it looked like it was sitting on like a pedestal or like a golf tee or something like that. I just couldn't figure out what I was looking at. It was like a grayish, bluish, I don't know what else to say, like a structure underneath it. So I handed the binoculars back to my daughter, and I said, has anything changed? I remember that's the only thing I said to her. And within a second, she said, oh my God, Dad, that looks like a beam of light coming out from underneath of it. And I'm scared. I'm just scared telling this story again. I know that sounds crazy, but, and she was right. She was absolutely right. That was because you could see through it. And I noticed that. And I was floored. I was at this point is when I was actually pretty darn scared. I mean, I was scared to begin with, but I was really scared at this point. She was really spooked. And I said out loud, I said, you know what? I said, I think I've seen enough. I'm ready to go in. And she started, my daughter, her name is Sheila. She started saying, Dad, let's go. Let's get in the car. Let's go towards it. And it was strange. It was like, I could hear her say to do that, but I was mesmerized and I was also scared. And I don't know how else to put it. I didn't want to get in the car. I just did not want to get in the car. And I did not want to get any closer to it. And she was insistent on it. And I said, you know, I said, Sheila, we need to get inside. And so we came inside. Now I was filthy. I was a welder at the time, and I had welded and worked all day. And then I came home and worked on the house. So I needed to shower. Now I know that sounds crazy. There's something in the sky that I've wanted to see my entire life, but I just wanted to get clean. So I came in the house, I got cleaned up, took a shower, and my daughter and I, out of our bedroom windows, it faced exactly where this thing was. So I sat with my daughter for a short time in her bedroom, and we watched it, and she was still asking me if we could go after it. And I said, nope. I said, I'm not going anywhere. I told her I'm going to bed. I was exhausted. We had probably watched this thing at this point after coming inside. We probably watched it anywhere between 25 and 35 minutes. So I went to bed. My poor daughter, I didn't know this until later. She was able to prove it, but she was so scared that she had gotten on some social media and she was able to broadcast what she was seeing to her friends. Now, obviously, it didn't look to the same way we were seeing it, but they were able to see what she was seeing. And she was telling these guys, you know, what she was seeing, and she was scared. And she did the same thing I did. Once I got in bed, you could see this craft out my bedroom window. And by using the windowsill and having me laying so still in bed, you could see that this thing actually was moving. And it was moving in my window. It was moving from south to north, and it was moving extremely slow. I mean, so slow that you could barely tell that it was moving, but it finally did make its way over far enough past the trees that we could no longer see it. I'll never understand what it was. I told people it was like the best and the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And the best thing, meaning I finally did see another UFO. I didn't think I was ever going to see another UFO past the one in South Carolina. And I did. I'm seeing even a better UFO sighting than that one. But also it was the worst thing that has ever happened to me, because every day it consumes me why I didn't get in my car and go towards this thing and track it down. I mean, that's what my daughter wanted to do. And it looked like it was close enough maybe to do that. And before I end the story, let me tell you, it was the size of this craft was, if you stuck out your balled up fist and held it out in front of you, it was just slightly larger than that. So it was big. I mean, you could tell it was a big object. I could not tell how far it was. It wasn't a Chinese lantern. It wasn't the moon. It wasn't the stars. And it was not Venus. I can prove that by letting you know that in the morning, I was so obsessed with what I saw that I had called MUFON. Now, I had to leave a message, but it must have been a pretty good sighting. And I must have did a good job at explaining it, because within 24 hours, I had a field investigator at my house. And it was nice because he was able to interview my daughter and I, which he did so separately. And while I was here, he was able to use a program, one of his computer programs, to emulate what was in the sky that night. And there was nothing. He said there was nothing that should have been in the sky that night, anything that resembled that. And he said the only thing that it could have been was possibly the moon. And he said the moon was not even in phase at that time. That was great to hear from him. I did take a couple pictures with it. That was on a flip phone. And I guess the good thing about that is it showed that there was something in the sky. Now, the pictures weren't worth very much because of the motion and the low quality of the camera I had on my phone. But it did show that there was something there. And that report and those pictures still actually exist on MUFON's website. And it has a case number, which I don't know what that is right now. But that's my second sighting. I hope to God to see something. I hope to see 10 more, hundreds more before I'm dead. But I'm so glad that I got to see this one, especially because I witnessed it with my daughter and my son. And it was such a beautiful, beautiful experience. I'll never be able to explain it better than that.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
You know, what's wonderful about this sighting is it's a shared experience as well.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't sound like what you're looking at was the moon. I mean, how many times have you seen the moon in different phases over the years?
Yeah. And do you know, I think another good way I could explain it is when you see those new moons on the horizon and they're really spooky, eerily lit to where they're not giving off light, but they're only illuminated. That's exactly what this looked like.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it wasn't the moon. I'm 100% sure it wasn't the moon.
Are you able to, or your daughter even, to actually make a drawing of it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can remember what, actually, we both, now, I think I still have them, but I made a point of that. The next day, we should have done it that night, but the next day, we both drew what we saw. And they were very similar. They obviously had differences, but they were very similar. And I'm glad you asked that, because I could draw it with my eyes closed almost.
That'd be great, because we're linked to that in the show notes as well. And I'll track down the MUFON case as well. When you look at the way you reacted, that you obviously your daughter wanted to, she wanted to go after it. Obviously you have a budding investigator right there.
Yes, absolutely.
and your reaction where you just wanted to really get clean, and then your son's reaction where he just wanted to go back inside, he wasn't too interested. It's very common for people to be very blasé about what they're seeing.
Yeah, and that's something I wonder about, the how much more interesting or how much there is out there that's not being shared because people are either afraid or, like you said, blasé about it. I mean, I got another good long story for you. I don't know if you have time for it, but
I've always got time for stories, Vince.
Okay, so this is a great story. All right, so in the beginning of my career, what I was a vascular technologist. So what I did was I assisted the physicians in doing invasive procedures, and a lot of people have heard of cardiac catheterizations and having stents put in. So where this is going is when we would have to prep a patient, and that would include doing your EKGs, and you'd have to, a lot of times our entrance point would be in the groin. So you had to prep the patient in the groin. You know, what I'm saying is you have to shave the groin. If we could, we tried to have guys prep the guys and women prep the women. So a lot of the guys and some women I asked to just put them at ease, I would always ask them, hey, what did you do for a living? And I got, if I had a response that would at all think that I could ask them a question regarding either the paranormal or a UFO situation, I would ask them, I would straight up ask them. And you could not believe how many instances I've had of people talking about UFOs. And I'm talking about military. I'm talking about sheriffs, guys that were, stationed as far as military or police stationed in Nevada, Arizona. The things that they have seen and the things that have been explained to me were insane. But I have one of my best stories. This was an old gentleman, and I mean, he was old. I did the math, and it was definitely, he could have definitely been in this situation. So I prepped him. This guy was actually going to get a pacemaker. I still have his name, but obviously I can't use it. But we were prepping him for a pacemaker, and we got him ready, and there was a cocktail that we used to give of medicine to get them to relax. So we gave it was Versed and fentanyl at the time. So we gave it to him, and I was talking to him, and I asked him my question. I said, are you interested, or have you ever had any experiences with UFOs? And this guy kind of chuckled. Now, I remember he was an older guy, and he kind of chuckled, and he said, he goes, have you ever heard anything about us battling something in LA? And of course I did. I knew exactly what he's talking about. Well, he went on to tell me how he was a radar operator and he was involved in that whole situation. He told me, he said, I'll tell you now, son. He said, whatever was up there was up there. It was real. And it was extremely fast. He said, and that wasn't the first time that we've had it on radar. He said, that was the first time we've had lights on it. I was floored. And, you know, sometimes the doctors would get annoyed with me asking these guys questions because I was talking to him during the procedure, which is very common, believe it or not. So I was floored. That was out of all the years, out of the 22 years that I had asked those questions, that probably was the best. This guy, I waited for him to recover. It wasn't much of a recovery after a pacemaker. After he had come down from the Versed and the fentanyl, I went to visit his room. And fentanyl, I mean, Versed, I don't know if you know anything about it, but it's a drug that acts like it gives you amnesia, so you don't remember. It's the same thing they give for like a colonoscopy or stuff like that. So you don't remember the bad parts. Well, I walked in this guy's room, and he didn't remember me, which is kind of common. And I asked him, I said, do you remember talking to me about what your role in the military? And he said, no. So to make a longer story short, I explained to him what he had said to me. At the time, it was, you know, it was Art Bell that was on the radio. And I asked the gentleman, I said, hey, would you mind if I used your name, your experience, talk to Art Bell about this? Now, he didn't know who Art Bell was, but let me tell you what. this man went from irate to just, he was steaming mad. He was telling me that what he told me was in confidence, or I'm not sure what you'd say, how the military say it, but it was, he was sworn to oath, I guess. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but he was beyond mad at me. The fact that I talked to him during the procedure and talked to him under being medicated, and that having no, the story that he told me, I don't know. It seems like he had not, I know his wife had no idea what we were talking about, but he told me with his finger in my face, he said, if you say a word to anybody about what I told you, and if you use my name, I will sue you and this hospital for everything it's worth. And so it went from like the greatest experience as far as talking to these patients to being completely floored about how mad this guy was. I thought for sure he'd be wanting to, you know, share this experience, especially at the age he was. I mean, he didn't have a lot of years left. And I think a lot of these guys that are dying should share their story. But believe me, this guy wasn't going to share his story, Nick. I tell you, he was mad as hell at me.
His story lives on, Vince.
Oh, so it was awesome. And like I said, I did the numbers, and he was definitely at the age, he was in his 20s when this was going on. And he explained every down to the nook and cranny about the, what he was sitting in as far as, you know, it was the, where the radar was. It was a mobile radar unit that he was in. It was fantastic. It was just fantastic to hear the story.
That is absolutely fascinating. I don't think I've ever heard of actually anyone accounting their story of actually being there. And for the listeners, it was an object seen over LA, and it's famously known as the Battle of Los Angeles. It was, I think, 1942.
Yep. But he had war nerves going on. So, but if you speak to the people there, there was something there. And how we, I think we sent up like 500-600 mortars or shells and didn't hit anything, is, it was beyond everybody, but something was up there.
Anti-aircraft guns went into action against unidentified aircraft in the Los Angeles area shortly after 3 a.m. Pacific wartime this morning. The anti-aircraft guns began barking during a blackout ordered by the 4th Interceptor Command at 2:25 a.m. The unidentified object, which some sources thought might be a blimp, moved slowly down the Pacific coast from Santa Monica and disappeared south of Long Beach. Army officials declined to comment on the possibility that the object might have been a blimp. However, it required nearly 30 minutes to travel some 25 miles, far slower than an airplane. Watchers on the rooftop of the Columbia Broadcasting Building in the heart of Hollywood could plainly see the flashes of guns and searchlights sweeping the skies in a wide arc along the coastal area. Concussion of the shells could be felt in downtown Los Angeles, 15 miles away. U.S. Army planes quickly took to the dark skies, but whether they contacted the object has not been announced. Army officials say they will not comment until they receive a full report of the action. Although some watchers say they saw airplanes in the air, semi-official sources say they probably were the U.S. Army's pursuit. Several observers say they saw one or more planes spotlighted by 20 or 30 searchlights. The object moved southward, presumably over Huntington Park at the western edge of Los Angeles, and on southward to about Long Beach on the coast. By 3:30 a.m., observers said the object appeared to be over the south of Long Beach. Searchlights closely followed the object down the coast and kept it centered in their glare. Shells frequently could be seen bursting near the object, but none appeared to hit it. The shooting stopped about 3:30 a.m. The shooting brought warfare to the front door of this city of 1.25 million population for the first time since December 7th. Already, it was alert to the presence off the Southern California coast of a Japanese submarine, which had pumped 25 shells into an oil field north of Santa Barbara Monday evening. Because of the presence of the submarine, a three-hour alert was ordered at dusk last night, and civilian authorities stood at their posts while the Army and Navy continued their search for the submersible. The evening alert ended at 10:23 p.m., but another was sounded at 2:22 a.m., and the blackout followed within 3 minutes. It covered Los Angeles County from Santa Monica to Pomona. At 2:27, all Southern California radio stations were ordered off the air, except those in San Diego. Approximately 20 minutes after the firing died down, the ship returned and headed westward from Long Beach toward Santa Monica. The guns went into action again, hurling round after round of shells at the object. The second barrage appeared to be closer to downtown Los Angeles, since watchers could hear the concussion of the guns more clearly and the flash of bursting shells was brighter. Then the ship disappeared for the second time over the ocean.
And then the other cool things were, I'm not going to remember them. I used to have them written down, but I have no idea what I did with them. The guys that were rangers or policemen out in the desert, the stories that they would tell me just about being chased or played chicken with or having things, you know, ride at the same speed beside them and just take off at fantastic rates, phenomenal rate. Those stories were just, they were priceless. But I'll just, the guy about the Battle of Los Angeles will always, I'll know that I'll enjoy that forever.
Yeah, I know our listeners will as well. I really appreciate you telling that.
Yeah, you bet. That just came to me. I'm glad I remembered it.
Absolutely. I mean, his attitude is very common. A lot of servicemen take their accounts to the grave with them. You know, which is a shame. But, you know, people are starting to come forward a lot more. You know, obviously, people are still, especially retirees as well. And if they're receiving any form of military disability, that's usually when they won't talk, because they don't want to jeopardize financially the money coming in.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I tell you what, after that experience, I was very careful. Anytime I got anybody that talked about military experience, I honestly didn't push it. I didn't ask, because I didn't want to. That man scared me so much. I didn't want to go through that again. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. I mean, with the show, if we have someone comes on, you know, everything could be anonymous. No names can be recounted, even down to bases. We don't have to even name names. So hopefully that will bring people forward to share some of these, you know, these fascinating encounters and stories that they've had.
I hope so. I think there's so many more credible guys out there that could tell their stories, and I hope so.
Yeah, there is a lot. Yeah, military, police officers, you know, you name it. The amount of people which have had experiences and keep it to themselves is crazy. It's crazy, you know. There's a lot going on in the world, Vince.
Touching base on my experiences, also the airline pilots, you couldn't hardly get them to say a peep back then. Yeah. Things are a little different now from what I hear, but you could tell who did and who didn't see things in airline pilots when I would ask these questions. You could tell, but if I had maybe 10 in a 20-year career that would admit seeing anything, that was a lot. So they definitely saw things that they wouldn't talk about.
They won't talk. So far, I've been contacted by three airline pilots. One was in Iran, one was in France, and one was in America. And they won't come on a show at all.
They will not come on a show?
They're still pilots now. They won't come on the show.
Oh, was it they told that Japanese guy he was going to fly a desk for 8 years? I thought that was...
Exactly, yeah.
Else. When I heard that expression, I was like, what are they talking about? And then I heard the whole story. I was floored. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I got this. It's difficult. I mean, it's private pilots are more of a chance with, but yeah, commercial pilots.
Yeah. Well, I can't believe I finally told somebody else other than my family the story.
Well, Vince, you've now told thousands of people.
That's awesome. That's just awesome.
Literally thousands of like-minded people. And every time I have a guest on, it then brings more people forward.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've basically got this off your chest, and you're also helping other people to do the same thing. You know, this is why this works.
I want it to grow. I want disclosure to be something that will possibly happen in my lifetime. And I think more people like myself, if they could just get their story out, we'd just one step closer.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Obviously, the, you know, things are a bit overshadowed at the minute, but yeah, I definitely believe it'll happen in our lifetime.
Yeah, I hope so. I sure do.
Well, Vince, I really appreciate you coming on today. It's been absolutely fascinating talking to you today.
Thank you for your time, Nick. Have a good night.
Unfortunately, that's all for today. If you have something you want to share, please contact me, either by email or social media, all of which are in the show notes below. I will be back with more encounters next week. Till then, stay safe, my friends.